You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach. And yes, indeed, it is actually me. I just wanted to go ahead and first of all, before we go into bringing my guest on today, a thanks to everyone here at Radio Arian and, of course, the Daily Traditionalist who has been filling in for me. And I've gotten a lot of questions. Matt, have you been kidnapped and black bagged and sent to some Eastern European black site by the CIA? No, I have not. Are you still alive? Yes, I am. What's happened over the past couple of weeks, this is going to last a few weeks more. As many of you know, my wife and I are expecting our second child here in June. We just found out that it's going to be a boy. So we're actually, our first son is named Nicholas after Saint Tsar Nicholas II, the last Tsar of Russia. On our second son, we're looking for Saint Patrick, a good Western saint. That ties into our Irish heritage, of course, and the Western Christian tradition. But he is going to be here before we know it. And of course, as everyone knows, within the Traditionalist Worker Party, we have a very clear policy that everyone is a volunteer. That includes me as the chairman of the party. So all the dues, which of course everyone, myself included, have to pay to be members, goes directly to our chapters to be able to do activism, to hold events, and to do things like that. So I work a normal job, and what the problem with that is when you've got a second kid on the way, things have been a little tight over the past few months, and I really, really need to be able to go ahead and put some away to make sure that our second child, we've got everything that we're going to possibly need to be able to help take care of the family. So, no, I have not abandoned the Daily Traditionalist or anything like that. I'm just picking up as many extra hours as we're at work as possible. Which, of course, has thrown a big monkey wrench into the normal scheduling of the Daily Traditionalist. And I've been running around dog tired, but this is not going to last forever. Things in the next couple of weeks are going to settle down, and I'm going to be working more still, but have a more reliable schedule. And that's going to allow me to be back on the show on a regular basis. And this is just, what you have to do. You know, we believe in faith, family, and folk is the motto of our party. And of course, the family aspect, you know, I need to be able to take care of my family, just as all of you need to take care of your families, especially those of you that are mothers and fathers. I'm sure you understand. So fear not, comrades. Things will be back to normal before too long. But I'm just going ahead and having to work a little extra and the normal wage cut grind to be able to make sure that that my wife and my son that's on the way will be able to be taken care of. So I really appreciate, I got so many great messages from people telling me that they, you know, missed me on the show, that they wanted me back in the show. What happened? But no, I am still around, still here. Things are going stronger than ever. Of course, we're preparing, and we'll talk about it later, about the big event that's coming up next month in Pikeville. There is so much going on. The scheduling is a bit crazy until probably right after Pikeville. So, I'm still here, but joining me today as my co-host is the man, the legend, the man who's really been able to keep things rocking and rolling while I've been busy. And of course does almost everything else with, Radio Arian, my good friend, Sven Longshank. Sven, how are you doing today?
Hi, Matt. Yeah, thank you very much. Very kind words of yours. I wouldn't really be able to do it if it wasn't for the help from the others, though, particularly Mysterium Fascis. Our friends over there have been a big help, stepping in and doing two shows a week. So we all pulled together. It's all teamwork at Radio Arian. Anyway, I'm just pleased that things are working out all right for you. And this does seem to be a problem that we have in nationalism, is affording to do what we need to do. We need full-time activists. We need people working all the time at promoting our cause. And they just can't afford to do that unless they have a secondary income or some kind of pension, something that pays for the roof over their head so that they can work. Because, I mean, this is voluntary work that we do for our people, and we do need full-time activists, people like Jez Turner, He should be on a wage. He should be being paid by British nationalists to represent us. He should be the go-to man for the newspapers. He already is the go-to man for every protest. He'll write a speech. He'll harangue the establishment for what they are doing to us. He runs the London Forum. He does all of that, and he doesn't get paid for this. He does this in his spare time. He has to do two or three other jobs trying to hold those down at the same time as trying to advocate for us. I mean, he's a human dynamo, and he hasn't got a wife and a child and another child on the way to be providing for. So I really do take my hat off to you, Matt, all the work that you do for us, as well as providing for your family. It really is a shame that we don't all donate a lot more. I think that's what really needs to happen. If you support white nationalism, you should have somebody that you really want to support, somebody that you like listening to, somebody that you approve of what they say and you think they're genuine, then send them some money, send them some regular money. If it's just $10 a month, that's good. And let them know that they're guaranteed to expect that. So they know that they're going to get the money coming in at the end of the month. Because that's the other worry. People will just send a one-off donation. And the people can't rely on that. They still think, well, I better just go out and do this job in case the money doesn't come in. And then your money does come in, but they've already done the job and they've missed out on the protest or they've missed out on the interview. I mean, this is the thing. It's the interviews with the media, all sorts of things that we need our main spokesman to be doing. And a lot of the time they can't do it because they just cannot afford to do it. So I hope you get more donations, Matt, and I'd like to see you being able to do what you do and being paid for it. I'd like to see people showing their appreciation for what you do for them so that you don't have to go out working all hours and then try to get together a podcast and then try to get together protests and demonstrations and all the rest of it. It's hard work. You should get a remuneration for it.
Well, I really appreciate that, Sven. And, you know, I just want to thank everyone. Alt-Right Andy, another shout out to you again for the support to be able to get the nice microphone that when I'm back at my home, right now I'm on my lunch break, back at home, all the donations that do come in, we put it directly into activism. And I would like to see within the next 5 years, not just involving me, but being able to get a variety of spokesmen. As you said, we need the infrastructure. The infrastructure just isn't spokesmen. We need to be able to have, when we have a protest or things like that, we need to be able to have local, at least somewhat sympathetic lawyers on retainer in case our civil rights are violated. We need to be able to have the ability to get resources. We need to be able to be really building the infrastructure of a true political movement. It's not just even enough to have spokesmen. I mean, I love being able to go out and to represent our people, to represent the Traditionalist Work Party. But there is so much that needs to be able to be done. You know, you look at when natural disasters happen, like in East Tennessee, when the fires happened a few months ago, we were able to send some of our members down with cases of water and other things like that. They volunteered their time. But I'd like to be able to see that not only the TWP, but our movement in general has the resources at hand that when there's a tornado, when there is a fire, when there is a natural disaster, we can be there on the ground for real support for our families, regardless of if they're politically in line with us or not. We can show that we care about white families because they're our extended family, and that's what wins hearts and minds. So we need to be able to have a whole entire network of infrastructure. There needs to be so much going on. Being able to have jobs. You know, there's a lot of people that can't be on the front lines, nor should be. But if you're a small business owner, hire people from the movement so they know they're not going to be fired because of their political views. You know, that is so crucial. The money that comes in, it isn't just about, you know, coming in and doing a one-off. We need to be investing and creating opportunities long term to be able to advance our cause, be able to have people do this full time, but then have the resources to really be able to battle against the left because we need it on so many different fronts. So I want to thank everyone that's just been so supportive, not only of me, but of the TWP and for all my patient TWP members. You know, all of us, in the leadership, we all work normal jobs. It's really, it's exhausting, but it's great. It's an absolutely wonderful thing to be able to do. So I appreciate the patience for sometimes things might not come out as quickly as I want them to. But again, everyone is a volunteer, and I'd like to be able to professionalize increasingly, which will allow us to be able to have people to be full-time advocates for our folk. That is such a crucial thing, and we're building towards it. And you know, for the first story of the day that I want to talk about, it goes directly into the lawyer question. So we found out, of course, the event is coming up, Pikeville, Kentucky, April 28th, April 29th. We were planning to be having the conference portion of the event at Jenny Wiley State Park, a state park in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And, you know, as everyone knows, state parks are supposed to be for everyone. That's supposed to be an open thing that anyone can be able to rent at the same rate and be able to use public venues. So what happened with this is myself, TWP, we hadn't filled out the application. Something was apparently mischecked on the application. And instead of just allowing us to refile, due to the anti-fascist threats, the threats of violence, the state came back to us and said, well, you can use the venue, but it's going to cost you an incredible amount of money, which, of course, is something that our movement, as we were just talking about, does not have. You know, we do not have a tremendous amount of money. So we actually, one of the locals, and the reason we're coming to Pike County is because the locals asked us. We have an active party chapter in East Kentucky, and one of the locals actually went ahead and is offering his land for us to be able to hold the conference portion. But this is a case where with infrastructure, it would have been great if we had had a lawyer on retainer, because we went and looked at our different options, and it would just become financially, no matter what happens. And of course, all the lawyers we talked to said we had a case that our civil rights were being violated, but it was going to cost an arm and a leg to fight the state. So even if we win, we still lose at the end of the day. And we know the resources are so scarce, and especially the event in Pikeville, outside of the expenses of holding the conference, which is going to be, things like feeding the people that attend, all that sorts of great stuff. We're donating to a local charity. We want to be able to make sure this is as lean an operation as possible so we can give the most back to the community. So the event is pushing forward. Thank God for sympathetic locals that saved the day on that, so we don't have to worry about a costly legal battle with the state. But for the future, I would like to have lawyers on retainer in the states where we're most active to be able to handle situations like this. But everyone needs to know at tradworker.org, by this evening, we are going to have the online sign-up available. So the Pikeville event, of course, you sign up for it. What you're going to be able to do is, of course, we've got the part of the conference portion, live music on Friday evening. Saturday, we're going to be doing a full amount of sessions. It's going to be on national socialist philosophy, self-defense, growing food, no matter where you live, being able to be more self-sustaining. We're going to be trying to hit a lot of different topics from a lot of great speakers, myself, other members of the Traditionalist Worker Party, the National Socialist Movement, the League of the South, comrades from Iron March. We're going to be having a lot of different white nationalist voices there to hold a variety of sessions to better unify our movement in terms of philosophy, in terms of tactics, in terms of action. It's a very important step for us to take. So we want you to pre-register, because we need to make sure that we get enough food, we get enough chairs, we get enough all the things that we need. We can only do that if you go ahead and tell us that you're coming, which of course you can do by pre-registering later this evening. So it'll be up no later than late tonight on treadworker.org. There'll be a tab that you click, you sign up, and then we'll aim to see you April 28th and 29th. But again, this is a case where we need to look why we need infrastructure. We need infrastructure on a variety of different fronts to be able to ensure we can be the most effective advocates for our people we can be. So, Sven, I'll turn it back over to you, because I know British nationalists have experienced the same assaults by the state, that even when the state knows they're violating your civil rights, your legal rights, if you don't have the weaponry to deploy, essentially in the form of lawyers or money to throw behind efforts like that, they will simply scoff at you and basically say, all right, what are you going to do about it? We're violating your rights. I know British nationalists face that a lot.
Yeah, it's such a common problem. And a lot of the time you can see where your rights are being violated, where they are breaking the law. But because you can't afford a lawyer to actually put that into words for you, you end up just having to give in. I mean, we've had cases where people have tried to defend themselves and they just haven't got the know-how. They know that what's being done to them is wrong and it's against the law, but they don't know the legal jargon to use, the special language that the lawyers use when they're in court. And they just end up failing and they end up being severely punished for daring to defend themselves. Whereas if they actually had a lawyer there, a proper lawyer, not... The desk solicitor that they give you when you get arrested, but a proper lawyer that it was paid, that it was sympathetic to nationalism, I think we would see a lot more of our people be freed. And it's important that they should not plead guilty and accept a caution. They should actually say what their beliefs are in court, because the chances are that a jury may end up finding them innocent, and at least then they get to have their say. But it would be so much better if we could afford to send a lawyer along. And if you look at George Soros, who is paying for these protesters against Trump, I mean, he's paying them $20 an hour to do that. How would it be if we could pay our protesters, our nationalist protesters? Imagine that, if you could get paid $20 an hour to protest white genocide. Imagine how many people we would get. And if we were able to say to them, well, if you don't worry if you get arrested, because we'll be able to pay for your bail. We've got top lawyers that will stand up for you. This is what the left has. This is what they're told. They're told, don't worry about attacking the Nazis, because we'll just post the bail for you. We've got all that money to throw around, because they are funded by the multinational corporations. They're funded by the NGOs and high finance, because they fight for their interests. They don't fight for the interests of the working man. They don't fight for the interests of America and the citizens of America. And it's only the fools that go along protesting for them and working for Soros. Anyone that really thinks about it, is surely they have to come to nationalism. Surely they have to support Donald Trump, just from the way that the media is lined up against him. The whole establishment is against him. Surely that must say to the left, look, this guy is the one you want to be backing. I mean, just this week we've seen Roger Daltrey and we've seen Johnny Rotten come out speaking about Brexit and Trump. And the reason for that is because they can see that the establishment hate Donald Trump and they hate Brexit. And surely some people on the left and the anarchist type people must be thinking along those same lines. Look, because they all say that the mainstream media is their enemy. And who is it that the mainstream media is attacking all the time? Patriots.
Well, exactly. Yeah, I mean, they hate Trump. And you actually brought up a great thing when you mentioned, working people. This also is going to be, to bring back to Pikeville, before I forget, we've decided that this event is going to be held on the weekend closest to May 1st. So this is actually going to be also one of the first, I think, one of the first nationalist events that celebrates May Day, of course. That's Workers' Day. It's a holiday in most of Western Europe, but of course the United States, for workers. And of course, nationalism, specifically National Socialism, is the only political worldview that will bring about true economic and social justice. When you truly understand what those principles are, one only has to look at Father Charles Coughlin, of course, whose newspaper was Social Justice. When that term was originally coined, what that meant is you weren't going to allow the common farmer or factory worker or mother or father to be exploited by the international Jewish cabal. You weren't going to be exploited by the bankers. You weren't going to be exploited by the bosses. You were going to create a society that was righteous and just. So this is actually going to be, we're taking it back from the left. We are, because the left works every single day against the interests of working people. They want more immigration. They want more globalization. They are doing the bidding of the international capitalists and the bankers. And they've always been doing this. They have always been the enemy of the working class, but they lie to the workers. They lie and they manipulate. So we're actually going to be holding this as a May Day event to be able to say that we are the true voice of the working class. We are the ones who are advocating for true socialism, which is found, of course, within National Socialism. It's not communism light, as the left promotes when they say socialism. socialist. We promote real economic justice where people can make an honest living, where you can invest, where you can make money. If you're, you know, not only a worker, but also if you're a business owner, it's about promoting that cohesion within the classes, that we're all part of a national community. We're all united together and we want what's best for our brothers and our sisters. So that's going to be another thing that we really, really want to be able to show that the left, who of course is coming into East Kentucky, they want to be able to destroy the economy there. They hate the people there. And we're actually standing up for them, not only politically, but also economically, also socially. We represent their social values. And that's what makes us different than the left. And, you know, when you're talking about the establishment and the media, you just see what they've been doing against Trump, for instance, over this alleged Russia probe. And of course, the House committee investigating Russia's involvement in the election isn't going the way they want, because lo and behold, Donald Trump and his campaign were being monitored. They were being observed, just as he said they were. By golly, the man is right way more often than not. And that means something for a politician. And, you know, now they're going to the Senate committee, and General Flynn, that was, you know, supposedly going to be an ally of Trump, looks like he's receiving a tremendous amount of pressure, and to the Senate committee might actually turn against Trump. You know, it just goes to show this is exactly like what happened with Richard Nixon, where the Jews didn't like what was going on. And of course, you know, Nixon knew about the Jews, and we've got the tapes to prove it. He knew about the homosexuals in Congress and things like that, and he called them out mostly privately, but they knew that Nixon wasn't their guy, you know? And that's the same thing with Donald Trump. They know that while he isn't one of us, he's not a white nationalist, he's definitely not a national socialist, he doesn't owe them. He doesn't owe his political career or his fortune to these people. He made it himself in many capacities. So they want to destroy him just like they did Nixon. And the Watergate scandal was absolute nonsense. Even the majority of the American people knew about it. I mean, just listen to Sweet Home Alabama. You know, one of the lines is Watergate does not bother me. You know, the common man knew that this was an absolute frame up on Nixon, because Nixon was going against the radical left. He was going against the, the radical groups that were burning down buildings, that were blowing things up. They were agitating on the streets. Sounds a lot like our modern left and Black Lives Matter and other Soros-fronted groups. And of course, during the 60s, the early 70s, all those organizations were bankrolled by Jews as well, as always happens. So they took down Nixon. We need to be very much on guard that Donald Trump is, they're not allowed to pull a Nixon on Trump. But I'll turn it back over to you, Sven, and get your thoughts on these attacks and these lies about the Russia engagement.
Yeah, I was really surprised to hear that from General Flynn. I thought that he was a friend to Donald Trump. I thought he was on his side. The fact that he's seeking immunity and saying that he essentially has some dirt on Donald Trump shows him to be a very dishonorable character. If that's actually what is going on, if that is what he's actually saying, I mean, the character issue, it affects all of us. It affects us in nationalism. Harold Covington talks about it all the time. These flaws that we have in the characters of the people that speak up for us. I think we're very lucky at Radio Aryan that none of the hosts here that I know of have got any of these serious character flaws, but that's one of them. Turning your back on somebody who trusted you as a friend and turning your back on him and trying to inform on him in order to get some gain for himself. I mean, that's the point of why Flynn is doing this. He's saying that he wants immunity from prosecution, and then he's going to dish the dirt on Donald Trump. I mean, that's despicable to do something like that. I mean, if there is any criminal behaviour, he's obviously been involved in it. And now what he's doing is turning his friend over, hopefully, so that he gets off himself, which is, you know, this is the sort of behaviour of these grasses that you see. That get held up as heroes by the establishment, and they're not heroes. They're dirty people that are dishonourable people that don't have any integrity and don't have any character. And just to take it back to what you're talking about May the 1st there, Matt, I was lucky enough to hear a speech by Adolf Hitler converted into English, which was his May the 1st speech, May Day speech that Adolf Hitler gave, where he was highlighting the difference between National Socialism fascism and international communism, and how there is no international proletariat. There is no union links between the working classes of the world. They can't unite. They're different ethnicities. They're different peoples. The only people you can unite with is your own ethnicity, and that crosses the class boundaries, so that you have a cooperation between the classes, and you work together as a nation to make life better for the descendants that come. I mean, that's the whole point of life itself, is to produce more of your own people and to increase their prosperity. I mean, that's what kindness is. Today, apparently, is the UN Day of Kindness. And when you think about what kindness is, it's the way you treat your own kind. So it's racist. It's racist. Kindness is racist because it means discriminating against the other kinds in favour of your own kind. And that's what life is about. It just sort of came to me today when I heard about this Day of Kindness, Matt. I mean, that's what it is, isn't it? Kindness is racism.
No, exactly. You know, 100%. And you know, it's a funny thing where you bring up about the international proletariat not existing. It's funny to even read Marx because Marx discusses you must go through a series of civilizations essentially within your nation to be able to be at the point where communism can come about. And it's only applicable to some countries in Asia and Europe and Europe's descendants. I mean, when you really look at it, the industrialization, things like that, what capitalism must go through, because of course Marxism works on this progressive view of history. When you really look at it, even if you were a communist, to go by true Marxist doctrine, you would still end up wanting like an Imperium Europa. I mean, that's really the worldview, because those are the only countries that have industrialized to this degree, you know, and of course, align with, for instance, the Japanese and stuff like that. Well, now you're starting to sound like an alliance like the Axis, you know, and these people, these modern communists especially, they don't even read Marx anymore. We're not even dealing with people that understand class theory in any capacity. They are the victim classes. That's all they care about, is these injustices, you know, when it comes to the victims. And, you know, you just look at what they promote as being normal now. They don't care at all about common workers. They don't care about workers in this country. They don't care about black workers, brown workers, because to support globalism is to support a global capitalist race to the bottom economically and socially. So what that means is, you know, while you're saying we're going to destroy the industries, we're going to destroy the communities here in the Western world, and then you're going to ship the jobs overseas, well, in 20 years, they're going to ship those jobs to an even poorer country where the wages are going to be low, and they're going to destroy that country they descended to. You know, send some of our jobs to the Philippines, which, of course, big supporter of the Filipino president. And now one of my comrades, who's actually a Filipino national socialist, was telling me that a lot of their jobs are being sent to places like Vietnam. So, you know, they're moving to different countries where they can find the lowest possible wages, where they don't have to take care of the workers. This is what the left promotes. They do not care at all about ideology. They do not actually care about families, regardless if they're white or any other race. They do not care about these families. They do not care about the individual. They don't care about the worker. They care about advancing the interests of the international Jewish communist and capitalist system. The two sides of the same coin of promoting whatever is good for the Jews, whatever is good for the bankers. And that's why we stand against this. We stand for true social justice. We stand to be able to take care of our families and be able to provide a world, not just even in our nations, but around the world, where no one has to live under the slavery to the Jewish system. Because, you know, wherever the Jews are, they will reorganize and wage another war against our people in 50 or 100 years. You know, this must be a total war against the Jewish system to be able to liberate this planet. And that's what we're fighting for. So, you know, it's such an exciting thing to be able to see. You know, so many different people are planning on coming to Pikeville. I encourage everyone to join us there. Or regardless of where you are, get involved in politics. I know the Nordic Resistance Movement is having a May Day march. So if you live in the Nordic countries, go to that. I know the NPD in Germany is doing something. So all around the Western world, you know, we're the ones who are standing up to fight for regular working families. We promote the unity of our people, not the division of classes that the left does, that they don't even care about the classes at the end of the day. We're the ones that promote a healthier society. So go out and get involved, because it's such an important thing. Now, Sven, I'll go ahead and I will turn it over to you for the final thought for the week.
Well, I just like to remind people, you know, just to talk about what you were just saying there about the social justice warriors and the left and then not being for the working class anymore. This is the reason why Roger Daltrey and Johnny Rotten came out in support of Trump and Brexit, because they said they were working class. Never mind the fact that they're millionaires and financially they're part of the upper classes, they still like to identify with the working class. And they said that's why they support Donald Trump and why they support Brexit. So you have still got people on the left that that can see that nationalist politics transcends right and left, and it supports the working man. Is it, although Donald Trump isn't an ethnic nationalist, he is a civic nationalist. And even though Brexit isn't about ethnicity, it is about sovereignty and it is about civic nationalism. So, and it's, and even civic nationalism transcends this right and left. It transcends the capitalism and communism, because it puts the nation first, whether that's an ethnic nation or whether it's a nation that's supposedly bound together by ideals. It's still putting the nation first rather than anything else. So that is a positive sign, and it's good to see that these left-wing celebrities are coming out in support of it. So yeah, it's just very positive. Oh, one last positive thing: the first law to be repealed now that we've triggered Article 50 is the law which stopped us from being able to deport foreign criminals and also allowed foreign criminals to get Google to wipe the internet of their crimes. So that's the very first law that's being repealed, which is a very good sign, because that means we can now deport all these foreign criminals that we weren't allowed to before because of human rights law. So that's my final cheerful thought for the day, Matt.
Well, it's a good way to be able to leave it. You know, it's very exciting. You know, as I always say, and it's true, every day we're on the march. We're on the march to total victory for our people, for our children, and for all future generations. And we are winning. We're awakening people. I mean, remember, the left, these leftists that come out and scream at us all the time at protests and things like that, you know, at the end of the day, some of them are being paid, but a lot of them have their hearts in the right place. They've just been misled. Remember, in Germany in the 1920s and the 1930s, some of the men that were in the Red Front or other organizations realized they were being lied to by the capitalists and by the Jews, and then joined the SA. They joined the NSDAP. They realized that only through nationalism would true justice for the German nation come about, and that was good for the not only Germans, but the entire world. So remember, we are winning the war of ideas and propaganda. We're winning the war on the street, and we are going to be able to advance. So a lot of these leftists, I think we're going to see in the coming years, are going to realize they've been lied to, they've been used, and they're going to come to the right side. So, you know, we need to keep preaching these ideas, standing strong. Join us, stand strong in Pikeville, wherever you are, get involved in your nationalist politics. And Sven, thank you so much. I'm going to be back, comrades, next week. I'm not sure exactly the days. All depends on my crazy schedule, but I will be back. And thank you so much for your thoughts, your messages, and your prayers. Myself, my wife, you know, we really appreciate it. So I hope everyone has a great weekend. Have a good day. I'll see you next week. And hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.